Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear from Megan Turnquist. Grain trade continues to wait for signs of China stepping up and purchasing U.S. commodities. Allendale Chief Strategist Rich Nelson says China has sent notification it will allow tariff waivers on nearly 700 products.
This does include pork, beef, as well as soybeans, and like you mentioned, quite a few other products as well. So on this one, there are signs that they are preparing for some type of purchase program, but as of yet, we're all waiting for the actual confirmation.
Nelson says USDA's daily flash reporting system may not catch sales if they are small. USDA's weekly export inspections report for the week ending February the 13th shows corn exports of 795,000 metric tons. That's 1% more than the previous week, but it is 15.5% less than the same week a year ago. Soybean inspections of 992,000 tons, 55% more than the previous week, but 8% less than the same week a year ago. Wheat inspections are at 502,000 tons, down 11% from the previous week, but they are 38% more than last year. For the marketing year, corn inspections are down 49% from last year, soybean inspections running 19% ahead of last year's pace, and wheat inspections are 12% more than a year ago. National Oilseed Processors Association, or NOPA, members crushed a record 176.94 million bushels of soybeans in January, which is well above trade estimates. U.S. beef exports to South Korea are setting new records in 2019, reaching over $1.8 billion in value. U.S. Meat Export Federation Director Ji-hae Yang says there are several factors driving this growth.
U.S. beef is taking more shares to meet the growing demand. And the high marbled, high quality beef, including the branded beef, is appealing to Korean people. The U.S. beef tariff in 2020 is now 16%, coming down from 40%. That is a significant benefit for the importers of U.S. beef as well as the Korean consumers.
In addition to retail success, U.S. beef is increasingly popular in Korea's food service sector.
U.S. beef is now widely used in a various type of home meal replacement, including Chinese style, Korean style, and American style cuisines. And another growing sector is the craft burger and the steak in food service sector, growing demand of a wide range of cuts.
Associated Milk Producers Incorporated celebrating 50 years of business at their annual meeting in Bloomington. AMPI Chairman Steve Schlangen says AMPI was incorporated as a business in October 1969.
We've been kind of ramping up to this event over the last few years and had a bunch of retired directors come back to kind of share the fun with us and reminisce and look back on all the things that happened, you know, from way back when they started walking on the moon and until now and all the changes, and we're pretty proud to still be here.
The dairy industry has seen major shifts over the years, and Schlangen says dairy policy is more important now than ever.
Standing up for our farmers who are really too small to stand up for themselves, like in Washington, D.C., and we've done a lot of that over the last few years, and in fact, enough that we were invited to the White House for the signing of the Farm Bill in 2018. And also we were invited back to the White House for the signing of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement just a couple weeks ago. So all of those things that are going on, I think, are going to be good for dairy. They're going to stabilize markets. 15% of our milk production has to go out of the country every day. And those foreign markets are going to be huge for us if we want to continue to grow in this country.
The dairy industry has seen many shifts. AMPI co-president and CEO Cheryl Meschke says AMPI's footprint in the U.S. continues to grow.
Our manufacturing infrastructure produced 10%, about 10%, of the nation's American-type cheese and processed cheese and butter. So AMPI dairy farmer owners own a substantial manufacturing footprint in the upper Midwest.
Meschke says AMPI has about 1,500 member owners.
And they market upwards of 5 billion pounds of milk, resulting in about nearly 700 million pounds of cheese. That really makes AMPI about the fifth largest cheese producer in the U.S. So that's definitely our niche. It would first be cheese and then butter.
This is National Grain Bin Safety Week, and after a rough harvest, grain bin safety needs to be top of mind when moving grain, especially when it's in less than ideal condition. Upper Midwest Ag Safety and Health Center, or UMASH, Outreach Coordinator Megan Chasso is seeing a higher than usual number of grain bin and silo incidents.
We know a lot of grain went in really wet this past year. A lot of it was just lower in quality, low test weight, and it may not be storing the way we want it to. So that's really been a big attributing factor to some of these increases in incidents.
And Chasso offers some prevention tips.
You got to get some corn loose to try to do that from the outside. There are a few ways you can do that by using long poles. There are consulting organizations that can do this as well. But in the event that someone does have to enter a grain bin, it's really critical that, one, you don't do it alone so that, you're working in pairs, but if something does happen, there's someone there that can get help as soon as possible. Some other things, blackout tag out every time so that equipment doesn't get powered up while you're working in grain.
The long-range flood outlook issued Thursday by the National Weather Service, North Central and Missouri Basin River Forecast Center, said there is an above-average chance for widespread flooding this spring along stretches of the Mississippi River, the Missouri River, the Red River, and other tributaries in the northern and central U.S. Along some stretches of the upper Mississippi River, Red River, and James River, that flooding could reach major status. This is the Red River Farm Network. Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The Northern Commodity Transportation Conference will be held March 11th and 12th in Bloomington. Ag Management Solutions CEO Tom Slonecka says 12 tri-state commodity groups are spearheading this conference.
Corn, wheat, and soybeans from South Dakota, North Dakota, and Minnesota all together in the same room, listening to these experts, listening to our farmers' leaders, and ultimately a game plan will come out of this. And time is short, resources are precious, and we need to hear from these experts. If you're in that grain trade, if you're having problems with anything that goes from the combine until it hits international waters, we want to hear from you. We don't know if you can solve all your issues, but if we don't discuss it, we can't knock down these barriers.
And Slonecka says the goal of the conference is to identify a path forward to easing transportation and trade barriers to the Pacific Northwest.
This conference is going to discuss some controversial things and some non-controversial items, but it's only going to work if you grab your grain elevator guy as a farmer leader and you come to this conference. And we've got plenty of space. It's going to be held in Bloomington, just right next to the airport. It's going to be a nice venue, easy to get in and get out, and we really think it's going to be worth your time.
Registration fee is $200. Register, or to find out more, go to graintransportation.com. Livestock producers are playing catch-up after a tough 2019. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Megan Turnquist has the story.
It's calving season for producers in the Dakotas and Minnesota. However, getting to this point, it didn't come without a fair share of obstacles. Purina beef technical specialist Amy Reduns says one ongoing problem is the quality of forages.
You know, in general, we've seen poor quality forages across the board, and so we've seen additional need for supplementation in 2020 than we might have in the past.
Well, and I know a few producers did learn that from 2019 when they went to go PG cows this winter, and we saw the results of maybe some of that lack of nutrition in the breeding back of some of these cows.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that particularly pasture quality, I've heard a lot about not only open cows, but lighter weight calves and thinner cows as well. So again, if we're starting with thinner cows coming off of pasture, again, we have some more catch up to do, right? So we just really need to be thinking about what is our nutritional plan and how are we going to get them into that proper body condition at calving, so that we have good success not only for that calf and her milk production, but even to breed back.
Reduns adds the type of supplementation varies from farm to farm.
You have some guys TMR feeding, you would have some that are free choice forage, those kind of situations. So in that ration, that may include Rumensin or something as well, right, to help improve forage utilization, improve condition, or again, maybe that's a supplementation program in terms of in a free choice forage situation of some tubs. Usually our limiting nutrient is energy, so not saying that protein is not important, but we want to make sure we're providing enough energy to that cow.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Megan Turnquist on the Red River Farm Network.
3 months after a week-long strike, the Canadian National Railway is again being disrupted. This time, protesters are blocking rail access with primary blockades in native lands in British Columbia, Manitoba, and southern Ontario. Alberta Grain Commission Chairman Todd Hames says the lines running east and west is a vital carrier for commodities, especially in the winter months.
We export roughly just over 80% of our product. So export is our livelihood. If we can't get our product to port, we don't get paid. We can't make a living. So it's becoming dire again.
National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Perry Bellegarde, says the protest has been coming for a while. What's happening on the Wet'suwet'en is highlighting differences between First Nations law and Canadian law.
It's not Wet'suwet'en law that's being recognized and followed. And that's the issue here. You've got the Indian Act chiefs that have jurisdiction on the reserve lands, and they've done their due diligence. But in the ancestral territory lands of the Wet'suwet'en people, it's hereditary chiefs and their clans and their big houses that have the jurisdiction. There's this thing called the Indian Act that put the two-year elective system in place. That's what we have to move beyond. And we have our own lands, languages, laws, people, government. You're not going to achieve reconciliation when you criminalize political activism.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Good afternoon. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The Beef Quality Assurance Program continues to get bigger and better, but still retains the goal of raising consumer confidence through proper management to produce a quality product. BQA Program Director Chase DeCoit says a revamped online training platform was recently launched.
These are all brand new modules that our producers can go in and take. New videos, new interactivity, and hopefully a really enjoyable training experience through that online platform. You know, nothing can replace the interaction between an educator and a producer in an in-person training. And those are still offered hundreds of times a year throughout the country. But we know that, you know, in 2020 with busy lives that our producers lead, the convenience of being able to go online and have the opportunity to take advantage of that online training is another opportunity to engage.
And over its 30-year history, the components of the BQA program have continued to grow. The training program is now offered to not only cattle producers, but also industry transporters as well as feeders.
BQA was really started to correct specific issues that we were seeing, injection site lesions, animal health product residues that we were seeing out there. And it did such a great job at that the program has really evolved. And now with our BQA transportation program that we have, we truly cover from pasture to plate with a total quality management program that touches all aspects of production. And hopefully our training and our resources provide the tools that our producers need to be the most successful and hopefully as an industry produce the highest quality beef we can.
Checking markets before we leave you this afternoon. March wheat in Minneapolis 12¾ cents higher at 538. The July Minneapolis wheat's up 12¾ as well at 556¼. Chicago March wheat's up 23¼ cents. Kansas City March wheat's up 18½. March corn is 4½ higher at 382¼. December corn 3¼ higher at 392. March beans are down a half penny at 893¼. November down 1¾ at 920¾. Winnipeg March canola is 260 a metric ton higher at 462.10 Canadian. February live cattle up 62 cents at 121.45. The April contract up 52 at 141.90. That's the feeder cattle number of April, up 52 at 141.90. This is the Red River Farm Network.